Some years ago in the United States of America, the evangelist and strong creationist Harry Rimmer wrote a letter to a preacher who presented a regular gospel slot on a local radio station. Rimmer was dying of cancer, and he noticed that the pastor was to preach that next Sunday on that radio broadcast on the topic of heaven. And in that letter, Harry Rimmer said this, writing to the pastor who was to speak on the subject of heaven, he said, "I'm interested in that land because for 50 years I've had a clear title to a bit of property there. I did not buy it, it was given to me without price." But he went on to say that the donor purchased it for me at such a tremendous sacrifice. He said, "Termites cannot undermine its foundation, and fire cannot destroy it, and floods cannot wash it away." And Rimmer went on in that letter to say that there's a valley of deep shadow between that place where I now live and that place where I shall journey in a very short time. He said, "I cannot reach my home in that city without passing through this valley. But I'm not afraid," he said, "because the best friend I've ever had in this life has went through that long, dark valley, through the valley for me." And then he closed with these words, "I may not be here to hear your message next Sunday, but if I'm not, I have the blessed assurance that I will meet you there someday." And before that pastor could preach on the topic of heaven, Harry Rimmer had passed away. But Harry Rimmer, as he died, knew where he was going because he had a hope of heaven. We live today in a hopeless society. In the current situation that we find ourselves in, there is nothing to be hopeful about. There is nothing to bring cheer to any heart because the reality is that there is no hope in this earth. There's no hope in earthly things. But tonight, the tremendous and glorious truth is that there is hope. In a dark world tonight, in a world that is overcome with fear and anxiety, there is hope. Hope for all people. Tonight, for those who are here without Christ, there is hope for you. That hope that is found alone in Christ. For those who are saved tonight, there is hope as well. Hope that when this life is over, we will go to be with Christ, which is so very far better. We have a glorious hope tonight of a home in heaven. Now the modernists will tell us we shouldn't believe in a literal heaven, or hell for that matter. And they limit such expressions even to experiences in this world. All those good things that happen to us on earth, they say that's heaven. And then all those bad things, well, that's hell. You know, some degree of truth is in that. Because you see, tonight, if you are not saved, if you have no hope beyond the grave tonight, this, in a very faint way, is the only heaven you will ever enjoy. But then on the reverse of that, for the child of God tonight, with all the agonies and sorrows that we'll have to endure, this is the only hell we'll have to endure, because one day we're going to be with Christ. And as we have sought to point out throughout these studies, heaven is not a figment of our imagination. Heaven is not some sentimental dream. It's a real place, it's an actual place. And dear child of God tonight, it's a place where one day we shall be. And as we continue this series this evening, I want us to think a little more about the hope of heaven. Because I think we often need to be reminded of it, don't we? We can often lose sight in all that's going on, lose sight of the hope, the glorious hope, the blessed hope that is before us for every child of God. The world today will say that hope is just a mere wish or desire. When we come to talk tonight about the hope of heaven, we're not talking about a wish or a desire. We're talking about facts. We're talking about a joyful, confident expectation. The hope of heaven. May I ask you tonight, right at the very commencement of this meeting, do you have a hope for heaven? In whatever else might be going on in your life, and no matter what may be going on in your life, do you have a hope for heaven tonight? And I trust if not, then before this meeting is over, you will. As we think of the hope of heaven this evening, I want us to see, first of all, with me here, the expectation of heaven. Our expectation of heaven. As you will know, over the past few weeks and months now, we've been dwelling on the whole subject of heaven and all the glory that awaits us. We've seen the splendor of that place. We've noticed something about the regal majesty and the unparalleled beauty of heaven. Heaven truly will be like nothing on earth. Last week especially, we spent some time wandering through the streets of that new Jerusalem and seeing those tree-lined streets along the river of life. And what a glimpse of glory we got. But for a moment this evening, I want us to get simply more than a glimpse of glory. I want us to see why. Why we have that glimpse and assurance and hope tonight. Why we have our expectation for heaven. I want you tonight, if you're saved in this meeting, take these words, not from this preacher, but words from the Lord Himself. Words of comfort and words of blessing, words of encouragement. Maybe in this past week you've had great challenges. Maybe in this past week you've had great doubts and uncertainties and fears and worries in your life. Dear child of God, tonight I want us to see why we have our expectation for heaven. Paul, writing to Titus, said, looking for that blessed hope. In the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we think of this expectation for heaven, I want us to turn back, please, to 1 Thessalonians in the chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as we think of the expectation, our expectation of heaven, I want you to see, first of all, with that subject, the foundation of it. What is the foundation of our expectation for heaven? Why tonight? Why does the child of God tonight have a hope? Well, we see it in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the foundation of our expectation for heaven. It's in Christ. And more than that, it's in the finished work of Christ on the cross. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, it's faith in the atoning sacrifice. Christ and the cross. It is Christ tonight who is our hope, yes, in this life, but it is also Christ who is our hope in death. Christ tonight is our hope for heaven. So many people are ravaged with doubts and despair and lack of assurance. Am I saved? Will I be in heaven? I've done this and I've done that. Well, thank God tonight we're not going to heaven because of anything we have done or anything we can do. Our expectation of heaven tonight is all in what Christ has done there at the cross. Christ who gave his life. Christ who died, Christ who rose again, Christ who ascended back to the Father in glory, and Christ who one day is coming again, coming back for all those who have trusted him and his finished work. You see, tonight the Christian has hope in the work of Christ and in the Word of God, the promises of God. Lord Jesus Christ, in that great high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 24, he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And dear believer, tonight, you have been given to God in Christ. Christ has purchased your eternal redemption. And your expectation, my expectation tonight, is all, yes, in the work of Christ, but also in his word, in the promises. We shall be with him. We sang, in Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is Christ tonight? Is Christ the foundation of your expectation for heaven? Do you have a hope for heaven tonight? If so, where is it? Some have confidence in commerce, some have confidence in commodities, some have confidence in countries, others have confidence in confession. Yes, some have confidence in their church. None of those things will ever save you. None of those things will ever bring you to heaven. It is faith and faith alone in the finished work of Christ. Is Christ your only hope tonight? If not, then I must say to you that you have no hope for heaven. And I must also say, in love to your soul, you have no chance of ever being in heaven. If you're not resting alone in the finished work of Christ, you've never turned from your sin and come to Jesus Christ, you will never be in heaven. Because you have no foundation. Not only the foundation in this expectation, but there's also the resurrection in this expectation. Look at verse 16. The end of the verse, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Thessalonians had heard about the coming of the Lord. But they had thought that the believers had to be alive when the Lord would come, or somehow they would miss out on the resurrection. If they had died before the Lord would come, that they would miss out on the resurrection. They'd miss out on glory. They thought that their departed ones who had died and been buried were gone forever. Paul writes to them to let them know that there is hope. For those who have gone on before, who have died in Christ, that there is hope for them. Because one day they will be resurrected, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see how they are described in these verses. Verse 14, it talks about those who sleep in Jesus. Not talking about soul sleep. It's talking about rest. Philip was singing about that tonight. Those who have died have rested from their labors, gone to be with Christ. But there is the glorious expectation of the resurrection that one day they shall rise. Because you see, just as the grave could not hold Christ, so the grave on that final resurrection morning when Christ shall come, the grave will not be able to hold the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Death is not final. Death is not final. Death is not the end. Remember what Paul said as he wrote to the people of Rome? There's nothing. Nothing that's able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes through that list, and what's the very top of that list? The end of Romans 8. It's death. They've often stood over open graves and sought to bring comfort to the family who are grieving over a dear loved one who is lost. I often find myself coming to those verses at the end of Romans 8. Death's all about separation. Separation from family, from friends. But death cannot separate the believer from the Savior. One day there'll be a glorious resurrection. That's a wonderful expectation. Not only is there the foundation of this expectation, the resurrection, but there's also the reunification. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There'll be reunification. Those who are still on earth at the coming of Christ shall be united to those who have died prior to Christ's coming, and there shall be a glorious reunification. Yes, all those who have died in Christ, they're in glory now. John saw that wonderful scene right throughout the book of Revelation, but especially in Revelation 4, and the four and the 20 elders. You'll remember a few weeks back how I believe that is symbolic. The 12 tribes of the Old Testament, of the old economy, and the 12 tribes, or the 12 apostles, the new economy, the 24, it's representative of all the people of God who have died in Christ. From Abel, the first man to have died, to the very last who will die just prior to Christ's coming, all shall be reunited. And all shall rise again from the grave. And all the saints from all of time. And you read Revelation 4. Talks about those who have washed their robes. Made them white. What's that telling us? Those from the Old Testament, those from the New Testament, they've all come the one way. They've all come the way of the cross, the way of the blood. All saved and redeemed and washed. And they're all in glory. None are lost. And on that day, for those who are still alive and Christ shall come, will be reunited with those who have died in Christ. Oh, there are multitudes who have gone on before us to glory. We miss them. Many in this congregation, as I think over almost 7 years of ministry now, there's been many a funeral in this church. Many's a time I've stood this pulpit and I've watched a coffin come in through that door. More than I really want to remember. But all who have died in Christ, one day we'll see them again. There's coming a day when we'll be together again. They're safe with Jesus now. And when He comes, He will raise their bodies from the dead. We shall see them again. And parents will be united with their children. And children will see their parents and their husbands, their wives who have gone on before. Friends will be reunited. What a day that will be. The hymn writer said, there are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms we often miss. He asked the question, when you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? You can picture happy gatherings round the fireside long ago, and you can think of tearful partings when they left you here below. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, by and by, in a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky. You have loved ones who have died in Christ. They're in their eternal rest now. Let me ask you, will you be reunited with them one day? Will you join them in their bliss? Will you see them again? I must move quickly. There's also glorification here. Verse 17. At the end of the verse it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall be glorified. That golden chain that we so often refer to in Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, them he did also predestinate. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, sometimes we're all guilty, and I know I'm guilty of it as well, that we stop at justification. Of course, it's cardinal, it's important. But justification's not the end. Whom he justifies, them he shall glorify. We shall be glorified. That's our expectation, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Because you see, that golden chain brings us from a triune God in eternity past who chose us in Christ to a triune God in eternity future who will glorify us with Christ. We shall be forever with the Lord. Is that your expectation tonight? Young person, older person, is that your hope tonight? Is this your confidence? I pray that if not, that this evening you would realize that the only foundation of your expectation must be found in Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. Your own notions, your own views, your own thoughts, your own self-righteousness, your own goodness as you think, your own neighborliness, your friendliness, all of those things count for nothing as you stand before God. Have you this hope tonight? Have you this expectation? It's not only our expectation of heaven, but I want us to move quickly and see as well our existence in heaven. I want us to move now from the resurrection morning back to heaven itself, back to where we've been for this past number of weeks and months now. For a moment, I want us to touch on a subject that I know occupies the minds of God's people. What will we be like in heaven? Well, to some degree, I trust we've answered that already. I've said we'll already retain our identity in heaven. We'll know each other in heaven. But what will our actual existence be in heaven? And I want us to consider what our existence will be in the new heaven and the new earth. And this world will pass away and time will be no more. I believe the Scripture teaches that when the believer dies, they go immediately to be with Christ. They immediately go to heaven. But their body is still in the grave. Now on the resurrection morning, soul and body will be united. We'll come to that in a second. I personally do believe, and you're, as I always say, are absolutely free and entitled to be. Take a totally different view to me. But I do believe that for those who've already gone to heaven, that they have some sort of bodily existence. Don't know what it will be, what it is. We cannot know for certain. But one thing we do know for certain is that when Christ returns, and He brings all His people and all the church back with Him to glory, that on that day, that body which is laying in the grave will be reunited with the soul. And what a glorious existence then we'll have in heaven. It'll be perfect. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he said, we shall not all sleep. That means we'll not all die. There will be those who are still alive at the coming of Christ. We shall not all sleep. We'll not all die. But he says this, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It's not going to be gradual. It's going to be instantaneous. We'll have glorified bodies. We'll have bodies that will be free from every trace of sin. This body that we have now is marked by imperfection. The old man, the old nature is still there. But in that glorified body in heaven, no possibility to sin or to err. Because in heaven, the curse of sin will be removed. And you know, in heaven, in that glorified body that we'll have, we'll never think a wrong thought. We'll never say a wrong thing. We'll never do a wrong thing. That cannot be said of us now. We'll never hurt another brother or sister in Christ by something we do or something we say. We'll be perfectly free from sin. And in that glorious body, we will be able for all time and without limitation have the unlimited ability that like never before to glorify God and to honor Him. We'll have bodies that will be able to stand in the presence of holiness. These bodies that are corrupted, contaminated now by sin, could not stand in the presence of a holy God right now. But in glory, with that glorified body, free from sin, we shall be able to glorify God for all of time. We'll have glorified bodies. We'll also have invincible bodies. This corruptible shall have put on incorruption. This mortal shall have put on immortality. Within these earthly bodies of ours right now, there are the seeds of death. Within our bodies right now, there are the seeds of disease and decay. Just think about it for a moment. Cancer, heart attacks, strokes, old age, dozens of other diseases that you care to mention have been claiming the lives of countless, countless numbers of people since the dawn of time. But God says there's coming a day when those who have died in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. That is, those that may have died with cancer or with heart attacks or whatever, they'll be raised with a body that'll be cancer-proof. Those that have died in old age, they'll be raised with a body that will never age. Those that have died, perhaps with heart disease, they will be raised with a body that disease will never be able to ravage again. Our glorified bodies in heaven will never experience sickness or disease or death or decay. Nothing. Nothing will be able to affect us there. Praise God, this corruptible body one day will be raised to incorruption. This body which has within it the seeds of mortality will one day be raised to die no more. We'll have Christ-like bodies. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We'll have a body like unto His glorious body. We often sing that wee song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like Him. You know what? In glory, that will be true. We'll be like Him. Be like Him in absolute holiness. Bodies able to dwell in the presence of a holy God. And as Christ's body is radiant in splendor, so I believe our heavenly bodies, our Christ-like bodies, shall also radiate with splendor too. Daniel says we shall shine like the brightness of the sun and the stars. You see, our bodies were marred by Adam's sin. But they will be restored by Christ's redemption. And you know, in many ways, the fullest sense of our redemption is still future. That redemption, which has as its purpose to produce healed souls and healed bodies in a healed environment. Oh, what a glorious existence we'll have in heaven. So many right now, even amongst the Church of Jesus Christ, have a miserable existence. So many right now, they're overcome with depression and despair and fear and anxiety. So many right now, and their bodies are ravaged with pain and their sickness and their illness. And their existence is pretty miserable. Thank God in glory. Our existence will be anything but miserable. Will that be your experience? Will you be in heaven? On that day, when you stand before God, before the judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, will you hear those words? Well done. Enter thou into thy rest. Go to be with Christ with that wonderful existence for all eternity. Or on that day, will you hear those awful words? One of the most terrible words a sinner will ever hear. Depart. The last word, sinner, you'll hear from a holy God will be depart. God forbid that anyone in this meeting tonight should ever hear that from the lips of a holy God. Finally, tonight, as we close, may just leave this with you. There's our expectation of heaven, our existence in heaven, but finally, our enjoyment in heaven. We come back to the end of verse 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I can't tonight. I can't explain what that will be like to be with Christ for all eternity. We'll never know the fullness of what that means and what that will be until we're there. Back in Revelation 22, we looked at this a few weeks ago, in verse 4. It says we shall see His face. We'll look in the face of the One who died for us. We'll look in the face of the One who gave His life and shed His blood in order to bring us to heaven. We'll look in the face of the One who loved us with an everlasting love, who loved us when there was nothing to love in us. We'll look in the face of the One who loved us even though oftentimes we failed Him. We'll look in the face of the One who was merciful and kind to us when many times we tripped up in our Christian life. We shall see Jesus. Yes, we'll see those that have gone on before. And as we've said, there'll be grand reunions and glory. But far beyond them all, Jesus will outshine them all. So shall we ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That'll be our enjoyment in heaven. Far beyond walking through the streets of that glorious city. Just to be with Christ will be worth it all. We shall see His face. Face to face. Oh, blissful moment. A place of pure, unbroken, unclouded fellowship with Christ. As I've said, in many ways, the full expression of redemption is still ahead of us. That day. And we shall see Jesus. As we close tonight, let me ask you, is that your hope? Is that your expectation? To see Jesus for all of eternity. To see Christ for all of time. One day you will see Him. One day all will stand before Him. Every eye shall behold Him. Every knee shall bow before Him. But for the ungodly, tonight, sinner in this meeting, for the ungodly, that will be the worst day of your life. And any other day that you think you might have on this earth, which is bad and terrible, nothing will compare to that day when you stand before Christ, still in your sin. And He casts you out into outer darkness. That will be an awful day. But for those that are saved, that will be the glorious day. Because that will be the start of all eternity with Christ. As I close tonight, the Scriptures also speak of a place where body and soul are also reunited. But an entirely different place. Not in the glories of heaven, but in the torments of hell. When the ungodly and the unregenerate and the unbelieving cast out into outer darkness, into the lake of fire, into that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In that place without Christ. Without hope. And in hell, you will wish, but it'll be too late. In hell, you will believe like never before, but it'll be too late. And your greatest desire in hell will be that this torment will be over. But just as the glories of heaven are for all time, so the torments of hell are for all time as well. There's no escape. Therefore, as we close tonight, let me ask you, what hope have you? Where is your hope tonight? Is it hope for heaven? Or hope for hell? Tonight, if you are in this meeting out of Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope either in this life or in the life to come. The glorious message and invitation of the gospel tonight is, come to Christ. And heed the glorious invitation. Turn from sin and receive Christ tonight. Come to Christ, who is your only hope in life. Your only hope in death. Whatever you do tonight, don't miss heaven. Whatever you do tonight, don't miss the cross. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, faith in his finished work, where is your hope? Let's bow in prayer.